Me out, Donnie. Testing 1, 2. Thank you. Mash the top one. The button, mash the button. There you go. Amen. Thank Mary for that communion. Amen. We want to remember everything that communion is to us and for us. Amen. We're going to get ready for the Word of God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I know you can turn me down just a little bit, just a little bit, so I won't hear myself breathing. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Because I have 74 years. That's a blessing. Amen. Amen. We're going to get ready for the word of God this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this another opportunity to bring your word to your people, to teach it, to preach it. Lord, we say thank you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you know that I can't of my own self do nothing. I will know it too. So I'm looking to you to bring forth this word out of me the way you want it to be received and prepare hearts and ears to receive it. And so, Father, we say thank you. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Our subject for today is Grace and Peace, Part 2. Grace and Peace, Part 2. And we talked about peace last week, so we're going to focus on grace this week. We're going to focus on grace this week. We might review a little of what we had last week, but we're going to focus on grace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace, the power twins. If you want to add love, then you got triplets. So we praise God for that. So we all have the grace of God. Even the unsaved folks have grace. They don't realize it, but they got grace because they still living. They got grace. When Jesus died, he died for all, not just for a few people. So they have grace. But the unsaved, the grace of God for them is in vain until they receive his grace. And so we were saved by grace through faith, which was and is the gift of God. And grace is something that's given freely, mainly because it's something we could never attain on our own. Not only have God given us grace freely, but did you know that we can give other people grace? A lot of times we receive grace freely. We don't give nobody's grace. Want them to pay for everything. When you require everybody to pay for everything they've done against you, everything, then that's not giving them grace. That's not giving them grace. We also have the peace that surpasses all knowledge and understanding. The peace that's not like the world's peace, which depends on circumstances and lack of problems and difficulties. We have the peace that God gives. God's peace doesn't exist without grace. The scripture teach us a lot about both. The Father has given us both his grace and peace. And they both come by trusting his son, Jesus, and they both can be multiplied. Let's review about what we talked about last week, what peace was. God's peace, that is. God's peace is a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with this earthly lot, whatever sort there is with God. You're content because what? You know God is with you. He's going to take you through. You know you're born again. You know you're going to be with Jesus. Your salvation is assured. So knowing your salvation is assured gives you peace. There are people that have received Christ as their Savior and had peace at the beginning. Because they sin, they think now they're unforgivable. They don't have peace. They don't realize that salvation brings with it peace because Jesus not only paid for our past sins, he paid for our present sin and our future sins. I witnessed to a man one time, he was dying, he had cancer, and he had accepted Christ, but he had no peace at his death. When he was dying. He didn't have any peace because he was an alcoholic and he fell and drank again, while he was saved. And so he had no peace. He didn't know he was forgiven because he had failed that one time. He didn't realize that we all fail. One way or the other, once we get saved, we all fail. And so I prayed with him and I counseled him and told him about the grace of God. And when I told him about his grace, I said, once God saved you, you're saved. I said, and your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You know. And when I began to explain the love of God and the grace of God to him, his whole confidence changed and his peaceful rest came over him. And he was able to die in peace. And so that was a blessing. And so peace is being in a state of tranquility, quiet, and rest. Little baby show looking at me. Hey, sweetie. It's being in a state of tranquility, quiet, and rest. Peace is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotion. Peace is also the absence of the fear of man, but walking in the fear of God. When you're walking in the fear of man, you don't have no peace. Trust me, I've been there. I've walked in the fear of man, and I had no peace. Why? Because I always was trying to please man. Nothing didn't seem like it ever was good enough. But in the absence of the fear of man, we're walking in the fear of God. The Bible lets us know what? That fear has torment, but perfect love gets rid of fear. When you know that God loves you, regardless of what mistakes you make or whatever, then you have peace. Perfect love casts out fear. So, like I said, we focused on peace last Sunday. So, today we want to focus on grace, God's grace. Let's go back and talk about what grace, some of the meanings of grace. Grace is God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection on our life. God's divine influence on the heart and its reflection in our life. It's also God's favor. It's also being accepted by God and receiving God's benefits. There's some benefits that comes with grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And grace is also God's enabling power and ability to follow his will, the ability to do what God says to do. A lot of times we think when God give us instruction or tell us what to do, we feel like we got to do it in our own strength, our own ability, our own wisdom, our own whatever. But that's not so. Because with everything God gives us to do, there's grace that brings the ability to do it. It's the ability to do what we can't do on our own. God's grace gives us the ability to do what we what cannot do on our own. So we need to what? Start thanking God for grace. Say, God, I thank you for your grace. I say that all the time because I need grace every day. So every day I'm thanking God for grace. Every day I'm asking God for grace. God, give me the grace to do this. God, give me your grace to do this. God, I need your grace. I can't do this on my own. I need your grace, God. And I say, thank you, God, for your grace. And God can come so quick with that ability. And then you can do what you thought you couldn't do or didn't realize you had the mind to do it or had forgotten to do it. But that grace will just turn everything around. And when you get my age, you thank God for God's grace. You might not think you need it when you're young, because you think you can do everything on your own. But when you get my age, you are very thankful for the grace of God. Very thankful. Very thankful. So let's get into the scriptures more about what the scripture says about grace. Grace and peace, like I told you last week, can be multiplied. It can be multiplied. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace can be multiplied, and it should. I don't know about you, but I want more grace. We can have more grace, more peace. More grace, more peace, more grace, more peace. 2 Peter 1, 2 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If you don't have much peace or enough peace, then it might be you don't know the word of God like you need to know it concerning peace. You're not trusting God the way you need to trust God because you don't have that peace. You don't have that peace. So because the word says grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace can be multiplied us. The more we know the Lord, the more we know the word of God, the more we know Jesus, the more peace and grace will be multiplied to us. So how do we increase in our knowledge of the Father and of the Son? I'm kind of going doing a review. We know them through spending time with him in his word and prayer. How do we get to know God? How do we get more knowledge of Jesus? By spending time with him in his word and in prayer. We get to know him in worship. We get to know him just spending time with him in his presence. Honest, open conversation with the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit are essential. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him every day. Talk to Holy Spirit. Ask them questions. Then wait for an answer. Sometimes we ask questions and we don't wait for the answer. We do not wait for the answer. So ask questions and wait for the answer. And one thing about it, this, I realized, and the Lord let me know, you can talk to the Holy Spirit. You can talk to the Father. You can talk to the Son. And guess what? It doesn't matter which one you talk to. They don't keep no secrets. If you tell the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit knows it. If you tell the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son know it. You know, because they don't keep no secrets. It's like a husband and wife should not keep secrets. They should share everything together. And the Trinity is like that. They have no secrets. They share everything. So now let's talk more about the grace of God. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:13. The grace of God, 1 Peter 1:13. First Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. So what's he talking about? Prepare your heart and mind for action. Prepare your heart and mind for action. Whether you believe it or not, you might not want no action. You might want to live and sit in the corner nice and quiet and nobody bother you. But guess what? You ain't got to bother nobody, but the devil gonna bother you. So gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your heart and mind for actions. Don't forget we are in a battle against an enemy who wants to steal our faith. The enemy wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal my faith. So don't forget that you're in a battle. So gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your heart and mind for action. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why the enemy wants to steal your faith and my faith. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. If you don't have any faith, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. But if you're walking by faith, then you're not walking by sight. So the enemy is out to steal the word of God because the word of God is what? It activates that faith in us. So the enemy wants to steal your faith. He don't want you to believe in God. He don't want you to believe God for healing. He don't want you to believe God for your finances. He don't want you to believe God for your children. He don't want you to believe God on your job. He don't want you to believe God when you go somewhere and travel. He don't want you to believe you're going to stay safe. If you don't believe you're going to stay safe, you're going to be scared to stay home. So the enemy wants to steal our faith. So don't let him. Then the next part of 1 Peter 1:13 says, be sober. Stay alert. Once you get alert, stay alert. Stay alert. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest upon that hope. Fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest on that grace. Rest on that hope. Rest on that grace. Because if you get in the word of God, if you have a conversation with the Lord, if you worship, then revelation is going to come. If you open when you go to the word of God and you read and you study, revelation is going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. And fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. Know that the grace of God is coming to you. He's bringing you revelation. He's giving you everything you need. One of the greatest things to me was getting a revelation of the grace of God. And once I got that revelation of the grace of God, it has not left. It has not left. I have to remind myself and be reminded, but keep your heart fixed and your hope firm on the grace that is coming to you. For when Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. The more Christ is unveiled, the more you see him, the more you know of him, the more you see who he is, the more grace will come, the more grace will be availed to you. You're going to get more grace. And what does more grace mean? More favor. What does more grace mean? More ability. You know, all that comes with grace, because whatever grace is, the more grace you get, the more that you get. I need more favor. The Bible says Jesus grew what? In favor with God and man. So we can grow in favor too. If Jesus grew in favor, we can grow in favor. So we need more favor. You ever been on a job and God just gave you favor? Other folks got jealous because you had favor on the job. They didn't like it because the boss gave you favor. They didn't like it because they gave you stuff because you had favor. Because God had given you favor. God had given you favor. So it's good to have, to allow God to give us favor. We can have more favor. We can have more favor. Let's go to Romans 5, 17. Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Abundance of grace. It's amazing how much the Bible talks about how grace can increase and multiply. Abundance of grace and what? The gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So it's through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we reign in life, what? Through Jesus Christ. You can't reign without the grace of God. You can't reign without the righteousness of God. You gotta believe that you have that grace of God, that you're walking in that grace of God. You gotta believe that you're righteous. And then you can walk in that abundance of grace. You can walk in that ability. People will say, well, you know what? They sure don't look like they that smart. They sure don't look like they could do all what they're doing. Well, the truth is, you can't. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. I hear Andrew talking a lot of times about how I see it all, how the grace of God will, God will make you look smart. He'll make you look smart to other people because God will be doing it in you and through you, and they don't realize that, and they think it's you. And they look at you and say, well, they ain't that smart. They ain't that smart. And it's true, we're not that smart. We're not that smart. So abundance of grace through the gift of righteousness, and we'll reign in life through one Jesus Christ. And we all want to reign in life. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life? I think the Passion Translation says this. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. We're held in the grips of grace. God holds us in his grace. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Sounds like the more grace you need, you get it. The more you need, the more you get it. And wherever sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And I think sometimes we forget that. When we're praying for people or thinking about people that are not born again yet, or may be born again and not walking in the way God wants them to walk in, we don't realize that the more they try to get away from God, the more grace God will give them. And that grace with what? Grace is not only enabling ability, but grace is God's divine influence upon your heart. The more God will influence that heart of that person, the more God will try to get that person to pull them to you, I mean to him. So where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So God gives us more grace. James 4:6 says that. God gives us more grace. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know I need more grace. But he gives more grace, James 4:6 says. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, if you're going to walk in, a proud person doesn't think they need grace. A person that's walking around in pride think they got it made. They think they don't need the Lord. Sometimes they don't think they need nobody. Sometimes people act like they don't need nobody, you know. And so that person don't get any grace because they're resisting the grace of God. And it's not that God ain't got it for them. It's just that they're resisting God. If you resist God, you're resisting the grace. So God give grace to the humble. Those that humble themselves by saying, okay, God, I know I need this. I know I need you. I know I can't do it on my own. So God, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your grace to make it. I can't do this job without you. I can't raise these children without you. I can't raise these grandchildren without you. I can't be the wife or husband that's married without you. I need your grace. I need your grace. I can't handle this without you. I need your grace. God, I can't keep my temper under control like it should. So God, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your grace. So God give grace to the humble. Let's see what James 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8 says in the Passion Translation. James 4, starting the fifth verse. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our heart is jealous, is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? So it's not that we desire, just that we desire to have more and more of God. God actually desires to have more and more of us. He desires to have more and more of us. And verse 6 in the Passion Translation said, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. Where it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. When I think about James 4, 6, I think about God when it says, God pour out more and more grace upon us. I think about how God, when he wants us more than what we want him, how God just woos us to him. He takes his grace and just woos us to him. He takes his love and just woos us to him. He's constantly trying to get us to say, okay, I want more of you. I want you to come closer. I want you to stay a little bit longer. I want you to give me more time. And God does that. God does that. God does that. Verse 7 says, so then, since we know what? That God wants more of us. His grace is pulling us more to him. So then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Surrender to God. Stand up to the devil. He's supposed to be running from us. We ain't supposed to be running from him. We're supposed to stand up in the authority that God gave us. You know, be brave. Stand up to the enemy, and he'll turn and run away from you. Then verse 8 says, move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And how do we cleanse our life? With the word of God. The word of God, we can wash ourselves with the word of God. The word of God washes us. It washes us. God gives grace. God gives great grace. God gives great grace. Not only did God give more grace, but did you know you can have great grace too? Acts 4:33 says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So God, we want great grace this morning. We realize the more grace we get, the better it is. So we want more grace. We want great grace. The more you talk about Jesus and get witness to him, the greater his grace will be upon you. What the apostles do? They went to house, breaking bread, praying, witnessing, talking about Jesus. And the more they did that, more grace came to after a while. They had what? Great grace. I don't even know if we know what great grace looked like, but they had great grace. You know they had great grace for what? They raised the dead, they healed the sick. They did all kind of stuff because of the grace of God was on them. The grace of God was there to get it done. The grace of God was there to get it done. We are all partakers of grace. Philippians 1:7. We are all partakers of grace. So can anybody say, I don't have no grace? I ain't got no grace. Well, yes, you do. You got it. You might not have much of somebody else, because maybe you ain't doing what you need to do to get more grace, you know. Some people might say, well, I ain't got much money. Well, maybe you ain't keeping none. Maybe you're spending all yours. You know, start keeping some. You have more like somebody else. Don't spend it on foolish stuff. We're all partakers of grace. Philippians 1:7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul was saying that. Paul was saying, okay, you might think I'm a big apostle. You might think, you know, this and that about me, but know one thing. You are all partakers with me of grace. I don't just have grace because I'm an apostle, but you got grace. The grace of God is with you. The grace of God stays with you. You can increase in grace. So we all have the grace of God, but how much grace we experience is up to us. How much grace we experience is up to us. It's not up to Donna how much grace I experience. It's up to me, and vice versa. It's up to us about how much grace we experience. It's there. It's there. It's there to increase in us, but it's up to us. Ephesians 4:7 says this, but to each one of us, grace was given. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace is freely given to us according to whatever gift of Christ. With every gift comes grace, the ability to operate in the gift. I'm so glad about that. Whatever gift God puts upon, brings to you, whatever gift God gives you, whatever God calls you to do, whatever gift He's given you, grace comes with it. And remember, grace is what? The ability to do what God said do. Grace of God comes with it. Grace of God come with it. So we don't ever have to worry about, can I do this or can I do that? If God said do it, He's giving you grace to do it. He's giving you grace to do it. But what do you got to do? You got to believe that God's giving you that grace. If you go doubting in your mind, I can't do this. I'm not good enough to do this. Nobody's going to believe me when I do this. Then you're defeating the grace of God. And we're going to talk about the grace of God being in vain. You're defeating the very grace that God has given you. You got to believe the grace that God has given you. That brings me to the next point. Do not receive God's grace in vain. God has given you the grace, but if you keep denying that grace, it can't work for you if you deny it. So do not receive God's grace in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Do not receive it in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, we've already established the fact we've all have grace. God's given us grace. Whatever God's called us to, we have the grace to do it. But the thing is, we don't want to receive that grace in vain. Allow God's grace to work in you and through you. Allow it to work. Unbelief stops the grace of God. Just like when a person cannot get saved unless they believe. The grace of God is for salvation is there, but you got to believe that grace for salvation in order to get saved. Same thing once we get born again. The grace of God is with us to walk in what God has called us to do, but we got to receive that grace by believing. So allow God's grace to work in you and through you. We have grace for every situation to work with Holy Spirit. So we have grace, we have the grace of God. So don't allow the grace of God to be in vain in your life and in your heart. Next point is we access this grace by faith. If the grace is there, God has given me grace, given you grace. We have the grace for everything God has called us to do. We have grace to live the Christian life. You know, we have grace to live the Christian life. So if it's there, how do I access this grace? Romans 5:2 tells us. Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, which we stand. So the grace of God works for us as we access that grace by faith, by faith, by faith. Romans 5:2 of the Passion Translation says this. Our faith guarantee us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. It's faith. Everything always comes back to faith, don't it? Everything that God has given us, and he's given us everything, but it always comes back to, do you believe it or not? If you believe it, you can have it. If you believe it, you can walk in it. If you believe it, it's yours. Because the grace of God has already supplied it for us. So we access this grace by faith. Another point is, under grace, sin does not control us. Under sin, grace does not control us. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we're not under the law. The law strengthens sin. We're under the grace. So sin does not have dominion over us because we're under grace. Romans 6:15, the next verse. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. We're under grace, so sin does not have dominion over us. We are right with God by grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we are justified freely, what? By the grace of God. We are right with God by his grace, not by works of our own righteousness, not by what we have done, but it's by the grace of God that we've been justified. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So grace established our hearts. Scripture says it's good that the heart be established by grace. Grace established our heart. The more grace we have, the more it establishes our heart, because what? We know more than we knew before. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're growing in that knowledge. So the more we grow in the knowledge of Jesus, the more grace establishes our heart. Thank God for his grace. For without it, we would not be here today. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we would not be here. And so may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth, now, and forever. I like that scripture. May his grace, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rest with us, rule us, and abide with us forever. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. Don't ever think that you don't have what you need to make it, because the grace of God has given it to you. We can make it from here to glory. We can make it through whatever we have to go through on this in this earth, because the grace of God is with us. We can receive all the blessings of God. Why? Because the grace of God is there with us to help us receive it. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. That's all for today. But thank God for his grace. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you give your grace so freely. You said that if you spare not your own son, how shall you not with him also freely give us all things? So God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for healing, for strength. We thank you that all our needs are met. Father God, we say thank you, Jesus. We thank you for wisdom, for your grace has given us wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom of God. We don't always know what to do, God, but God, you always know what to do. So God, we thank you for grace that brings us wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. And strengthen our bodies, Lord. Thank you for grace that strengthens our body. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, God. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for all those that are here. And God, we thank you that you are who you say you are, and you do what you say you do. And so, God, for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can stop recording, Mary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.